Hi everyone, welcome to the Tech Entrepreneur on a Mission podcast. My name is Ton Dobbe and I'm the founder of Value Inspiration and the author of The Remarkable Effect. I envision a world where every B2B SaaS startup succeeds because they're creating software that customers would miss if they were gone. And here's why. Research consistently shows that 90% of all startups fail, and that's bad. What's worse, however, is that 75% of SaaS scale-ups fail, companies that are supposed to have product market fit. Far too few scale-ups create the traction they aspire for and fail for the wrong reasons. And I believe this should stop, and hence I created my business. And the goal that I have with this podcast is twofold. First, to inspire new forms of value creation by sharing compelling ideas and stories about the potential that we can unlock when technology and people blend in the right way. Secondly, share experiences from tech entrepreneurs like you about what it requires to create a remarkable software business and how to overcome the roadblocks to do so. The guest on my podcast today is Payman Thai, founder and CEO of Visme.
The bar has been raised today on what is expected of people and businesses. So when we say loudly is that you can stand over the crowd, and by speaking visually is again where you have the capacity to communicate visually. If you communicate visually, you're improving the information retention. When humans, we are used to seeing things visually. When you see a chart, you can remember and absorb that information much more than if you just saw it as a set of numbers and stats that are listed on top of each other. You know, we believe that every individual is a great storyteller, even if you think you're not. Our platform is the means to allow them to be able to take their information and data and ideas and be able to bring them to the forefront in a more meaningful manner.
This is Payman. He's an avid technologist. He loves new trends and tries to keep up with the ever-evolving internet. His background in biology has led him to truly believe in the art of evolution. Everything changes in time. You either follow or create new trends, or you will be left behind. He started Hindsight Interactive with a mere $170 to pay his way through college. And over the last 16 years that followed, he and his team worked with over 300 companies, large and small, from all walks of life. Frustrated with the lack of easy-to-use tools for non-designers to create compelling visual content, he went on to create Visme. They believe everyone should be able to create beautiful content with no design experiences and minimal effort. And their mission? To empower the world to speak loudly by speaking visually. And that inspired me. Hence, I invited Payman to my podcast. We explore what's broken in the way we can communicate value and ideas. Payman shares the big lessons learned in taking his business from scratch to profitability within 18 months. He also digs into some of the internal beliefs that they had to eliminate that harmed even faster growth of the business. Lastly, we discuss how they selected their sweet spot in the market and what it took to create predictable traction. And by listening to this podcast, you will learn four things. Firstly, how to rapidly grow market share and create defensible differentiation in a market that's always been dominated by very large vendors. Secondly, what to do differently to grow purely by word of mouth. Thirdly, how to structure your product strategy for impact when everyone can technically use your solution and all have feedback. And fourthly, why Payman decided not to raise external funding to grow the business and why he'd start any new business bootstrapped again. Hi Payman, thank you for making the time available and being the guest on the podcast.
Thank you very much, glad to be here.
Yeah, it's been something that I've been looking for. First of all, well, we're looking out for. I got an invitation or I got a request from one of your colleagues who introduced me to the company, and then I started to look at what you're all up to. I love the visual appeal of the website, and obviously that's something that you're high on. I love the mission that you're on, speak loudly, speak visually. And I was like, yeah, this is a good mix, because my podcast is all about the value that we can create when people and technology blend in the right way. And I think that your platform is really all about that. Yeah, I mean, just as a first question, like for you as an entrepreneur, like what drives you? What do you get energy from?
No, a couple of different routes. One is that just our platform, as you mentioned, it is a platform to empower people, non-design professionals. It's a little more geared towards people that are looking to create content for businesses and for branding. Although we have a lot of students, educators, and so on, you can imagine. In short, it empowers non-designers to create virtually any type of digital content in virtually any format. So that can be anything from a presentation to a short video, to a visual document that includes charts, graphics, and so on, versus, let's say, just text-only documents, and all we do to data visualization, such as infographics and so on. So the whole gamut of that is essentially anyone who's looking to visualize information and data into more snackable formats. And that's what our platform does. So seeing people, what they create and what they share is very self-fulfilling. There's a lot of platforms out there and software and so on, and you don't really get to see what people are doing with it, right? They're sitting behind the scenes, or you get to measure it with like stats and numbers, but you don't really see what people are doing. So we're a design content creation platform. So people get excited about sharing, look what I created in BizMe, and they use it for sales and marketing. So that's really is something that's very fulfilling. And when you see that, wow, somebody used our platform that we worked on all these years on, to do that, that's a positive. And the other one is just the platform itself, where with software, with today's technology, with browsers, we are a web-based application. I mean, there's also an iOS app as well. And you can push the boundaries further and further. So we like to see how far we can take the capabilities of our system and what is possible within a browser. 5, 6, 7 years ago, slower computers, less memory, browsers going back to like Internet Explorer days and so on, very slow. It couldn't handle JavaScript well. So now, you know, Chrome and even virtually all of the latest browsers do a really good job at that. And so you're able to achieve that.
Okay. Pushing boundaries and creating impact for your users. It's a good one to start with. So like when you started the company 2013, I saw. What was the big problem that was screaming for a solution like yours?
So it actually goes back further below that. So yes, BizMe really didn't take form until, I mean, the very, very early beta was 2013. It's really 2015 or 16, and we got very serious about it. But this journey goes back further. I was a self-taught designer to pay my way through school. In the early 2000s, I basically started doing websites. And I don't know what I was doing, but, you know, just practice and figure it out. You spend a lot of time on something, you can figure it out, especially today. There's a lot of resources available. Then there wasn't as much. Creating websites, ended up forming a small web agency, and we were developing a lot of interactive animated websites for really cool clients. And those days, for those that are new to the internet, I mean, if you've been around in 10 years, you've probably never heard of it. But back in the day, it used to be called Flash, Adobe Flash, which was a really cool technology that you could, any website that had movement, interactivity, motion, animations that was using Adobe Flash, essentially, most of them. And that was the one that you use. So Apple came along, put an end to Flash. Basically, their browsers and devices no longer supported it. And so that heavily impacted my business. That was the very, very start of me saying, well, let's experiment with creating something that me as a designer can still create, use. And then the content that I put out can still be viewable on different browsers, even Apple devices and so on. And then that journey very soon after transformed into BizMe, instead of it being for designers, to actually being meant for non-designers. And that transition happened is when in early 2013 or so, put a MVP, a medium viable product, in front of a audience that I had to show up as a focus group, and none of them were designers. And so that was an aha moment. And I was like, well, this thing can be bigger than just being meant for designers. What am I doing? Yeah. I also personally, even as a designer, professional designer, always had a frustration. And I think a lot of people share that with me, is you use a lot of different tools to do different things. And I absolutely did not like that. I used very powerful tools to create the type of content. So I would go, let's say, from Adobe Illustrator to Photoshop to PowerPoint or even Keynote and Flash and all of these technologies to have one outcome. Like to create a web graphic, I would use 3 or 4 different products because they're all really good. They're very powerful at those different things, but the user interface was different in all of those. So I was like, you know, this is frustrating because even though I know how to use these tools, every time I go from one to the other, the interface is different. And it's like the workflow is, just doesn't make sense. Why can't it be better? So that's what my understanding was, that, okay, it would be great if I took this platform, made it for non-designers, and yet it allowed them to have one interface, one workflow to be able to create different outcomes. And that's basically what BizMe has become. And today it's about 18 million registered users today that have used it to create all types of content.
Yeah, okay. Good. If I summarize this, like the problem was more in the hard to learn, takes a lot of time, and yeah, it stops you from really focusing on what the outcome really should be about, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about productivity. So you want to be productive, and if you don't have to bounce from one app to another, and if you have one outcome, then that's great. So that's essentially what it is. And today, even, you know, right now is for businesses, what matters for a business? For my business, right? It's that what matters at the end of the day is having a great outcome with the minimum amount of friction. Yeah. That equals productivity. The more productive you are, the more you can get done, the more your team can get done. And that comes through collaboration, that comes through a seamless communication, that comes from being able to create things or publish or download, again, in other aspects or whatever it is that you're trying to do, being able to accomplish that in the least amount of steps and least amount of time, which is why productivity and collaborative apps are so popular and they're doing so well. For example, my team lives on Slack, essentially, and it's been a game changer for, I'm sure, for many orgs. Imagine if that wasn't the case, and then you had to still use emails. Yeah. And that's why we actually have brought in a collaborative aspect to VizMe as well. So for example, there's live editing. We have a whiteboarding feature that we released a few months ago so that, again, it goes back to what our mission is, that you use this one app. It's the work suite. When it comes to brainstorming, creating, visualizing, use this one platform. So we have users that are stopping to use whiteboarding platforms because they still have to use another presentation platform. They used to have to create another platform to create documents, and they just come to VizMe because they can get the whiteboarding, they can get the presentations, documents, everything else, and they can still be productive and they have the efficiencies as well. So that, again, goes back to kind of our answer in creating more collaborative and productive environments for businesses.
And going back to your mission, speak loudly, speak visually. So that is about the outcome of what your solution is creating. So talking about the opportunity, if the world starts to embrace this platform, what we will start to see, I mean, how does this speak loudly and speak visually? Well, it results that your customers didn't expect.
Well, let's see. So yeah, we coined that term some years ago. I think a lot of people look at it this way. When it comes to creating content, or let's say it's a presentation, slide deck, and so on, the norm is where I don't think it's going to be a beautiful, gorgeous presentation. I don't have to do that because I'm not really a designer. The expectation isn't there. And the bar has been raised today on what is expected of people and businesses. So when we say loudly, is that you can stand over the crowd. And by speaking visually is, again, where you have the capacity to communicate visually. If you communicate visually, you're improving the information retention. You take a piece of paper that, let's say, it's talking about a process of building, let's say it's about creating a Star Wars Lego. This is my son's Star Wars thing is sitting right next to you. That's how I'm coming with an example. So let's say you want to create a little spaceship from Star Wars and Legos. Imagine the instructions are just in a piece of paper and there's no visuals to support that. It just says, put piece in this to that and attach that to that and steps are there. Versus you look at a manual of Lego, and again, this goes into the business environments, training manuals and so on, and it's visually provided and supported, where you take text, you combine it with icons and graphics, and then the retention goes up. So the same thing goes with charts and doing data visualization. You take stats, let's say marketing KPIs, right? You could have those stats and bullet points, or yet just format it into a chart. And so that is something that improves retention, because when humans, we are used to seeing things visually. When you see a chart, you can remember and absorb that information much more than if you just saw it as a set of numbers and stats that are listed on top of each other. So that's what we talk about, is speak visually, speak loudly, and you know, speak visually is speaks to that. We are raising a bar in terms of people to, you know, we believe that every individual is a great storyteller. Even if you think you're not, our platform is the means to allow them to be able to take their information and data and ideas and be able to bring them to the forefront in a more meaningful manner.
Let me make a small interruption here. Payman just made an excellent remark that helps them to keep focus on the essence. They realize what business they're really in and that their success is dependent on enabling an outcome, not an output. This doesn't lock them in as a visual communications platform, but it gives them freedom. Freedom to over time evolve with the needs of the market as the bar is further raised in terms of what is expected of people and businesses when it comes to their ability to stand out in their communication. It's a trait remarkable software companies master. This trait, focus on the essence, helps them create new value possibilities ahead of the market and constantly turn more customers into fans. And you can master these traits as well. And the first step? Simply read my book. I've made the electronic version available for free. Just visit theremarkableeffect.com to grab your copy and inspiration will spark in the next 10 minutes. Back to the interview. I like that. Going back to the spinning back when the product was being created, you said the early betas came in 2015. Your ambition is big. You said it before. You got all these tools and you use those tools because they did different things in their own individual unique way. Now you try to create a suite that allows all of this on one platform, which of course is a huge task. I mean, I come from the ERP world, enterprise resource planning. It's almost like building a platform as broad and deep as that.
Yes.
But then of course, yeah. My question is always what is being a decision that appeared to be really important at the start of the journey? Where did you start? What was the first thing that you say, we need to fix this in order to create not only impact, but actually create something whereby we create an advantage from the others?
Yeah, I mean, look, this thing has been in the works for almost 10 years, starting from the first couple of years out of the agency. And it was just a side project, the first 2.5-3 years, and then it was still a side project from 2013 to 15. But it's taken a long time to put into play. And it's really the last, I would say, in the last 3 to 4 years, that things have become very clear as far as I should use the term, we know what the heck we're doing now. There's been a lot of mistakes made and you learned from them in the past. And that could be through the way you set up the interface, the way you did certain business aspects of marketing and positioning and so on, all of those. But in short, I believe there's only a handful of companies and startups that literally go from zero to just, being the absolute leader in the industry and so on. And you could fairly even in those cases, say is that, well, there may be a lot of mistakes in order to figure out, but that's very rare where you go from zero to X with a very high velocity. In the most cases, and we're one of them, I believe that we've been a fairly successful startup, but we could have been much bigger and better and so on. We'll be taking different routes in that, but it's a lot of figuring out. So it wasn't, and sometimes people are like, wow, you guys build a startup and we're bootstrap. We've never raised funds, which is also makes it much more difficult, I think, creating this huge platform that has taken tens of thousands of man hours to create. And in one way, it's a good thing because it's very hard for others to replicate it because it's such a beast. I tell people, and it's like, hey, if you're looking to get into this kind of business, be ready because it's a huge amount of work. It's not just the code, all our templates and our assets and everything. Yeah. And it's a tremendous amount of work that's gone in. It started with just, solving one problem. And that was where, hey, we want to create a animation platform that people can create animated content on it. That ended up taking a backseat, as I mentioned, when we pivoted very early on. I'm glad we did that very early. So when you're creating things for customers, for users, you got to listen to your users and see what they want and what they ask for. What is the problem they have? And you work on that solution. What's made it even more difficult for us is that it doesn't just do one thing. People use it to create different things. And what makes it more complicated is that VizMe isn't meant for one specific industry. It's meant for any industry. It's not meant for one role. It's used by people from all walks of life, from marketing to HR, to sales, to internal communications, learning management, and then all the way down to students, educators. Just imagine everybody from all walks of life, from different age groups, from different industries is using this platform. And then they all have feedback and they all say, hey, it would be great if it did this. It would be great. So how the heck do you figure out between that noise? And that's, I think, has been probably the most challenging part of our platform is where you just can't listen to everybody and everybody that wants everything.
So what did you do there? I mean, what is your framework to say yes, no?
A couple of different ways. Well, one is there is a series of specific features and functionalities and so on that I knew from day one that I would want to build. And that was learned because I ran an agency for 8-9 years. So I learned design and so on. But it also had a negative impact because I was a professional designer. So when you're professional designers, you tend to think more as an advanced person and you expect that the non-designer or the person that starts knows a lot more than they actually do. You almost have to create something for a child. And this is not to say negatively, offensively to anyone, but you literally, when you're getting started at something, if I'm going to learn a new language, I'm like a kid that's learning the first word. So you have to, when you're trying to design and learn design, you have to start from scratch. So that I think is actually had a negative impact on VisMe early on because it was a little bit more complicated to begin with. It's not so much now. It's much easier now. It has a low learning curve. But that was the disadvantage where it wasn't as powerful as the higher end applications. And yet it was a little bit harder to use along those. And that actually, for I think the first 2 or 3 years, had a negative impact in terms of how good the app was. We eliminate the noise. We've got it down to where our platform in the last 2 years, we made a decision and say, okay, look, it's welcome. It's open for anybody to come create an account and use it from all walks of life. But our target audience, our focus is more businesses from any industry and so on. So we focus on those. So we look at what features and functionalities and so on they're looking at. And then we look at how often is that requested? Is that something that's going to help the mass community versus just one individual saying it? Because believe me, people come up with all types of requests that just, if you listen to that, this application will not be even usable. So we have to eliminate the noise. The other one is, you know, after doing this for 8, 9, 10 years and with a great team that I have, is we have a pretty good intuition as what also makes sense to do or not, you know, so you go with that. Those are some of the ways that we do that.
In case you haven't heard, it's officially an Abercrombie summer. The ANF Vacation Shop has everything on your packing mood board. I desperately need their new one piece, the ANF Marina. It's strapless, so flattering, and paired with denim shorts will be my go-to beach outfit this summer. Finally, your suitcase isn't complete without finding that dress. You know, the one for the photo shoot. Abercrombie's boho dresses have that perfect beachy romantic look. Make it an Abercrombie summer. Shop their newest arrivals in-store, online, and in the app.
What has been the hardest nut to crack in growing user adoption or changing behaviors of people?
I think the product-led growth in that aspect, because we have been product-led growth. Yes, we have a little bit of a sales that we do now and so on, but we essentially still a product-led system is, I would say the last 3 or 4 years, the product was pretty buggy. We were putting a lot of features out and we had a smaller team. We didn't have the capacity. We didn't have a QA team the first 3 or 4 years. You know, so it's like devs and me and other teams were responsible for also checking for bugs and so on. So those would roll out to them. So I would say the first 3, 4 years, those impacted because you don't give a proper experience to the users. It's going to negative impact that. So I think that definitely would have been one factor. Another one is, again, we have been a bootstrap company. We did not have the luxury of some of our competitors who raised tens of millions of dollars. We spent thousands of dollars in marketing and so on versus millions of dollars. So that's something that, of course, to an extent would have impacted us as well. I would say one other thing about our product is that, I mean, actually, for those that are listening in, here's what I would say. To give the proper picture of what VisMe is so that my answers would make more sense is we sit between the easy and the powerful. So if you take, let's say, dumbed down design tools that are great for what they do is to just solve a quick problem. I'm here to create a quick graphic. That's all I want. Just a small business card, nothing else. And they put a lot of limitations in place. You can have a quick outcome because you get in very quick. You know, that's great for the very beginning, but eventually you're going to hit walls. You're going to be limited in some of the things you can do. So your next step would have always been to jump from the left design tools or simplicity or presentation platforms or graphics. And then you got to jump all the way to the right. And that is where the top-notch, powerful design platforms, which are great. And I use them for many years. You know, Figma's great, Adobe Cloud and so on. Those are great platforms, but they're really meant for the top-notch designers. And so your path would be to jump all the way to the right to get more out of your capabilities. And between the two, there's the gray area. And that is where VisMe is. That's what our mission is to bridge the gap between a simple and powerful to give you the ability to have a low learning curve to get in and start doing things. And then having things layered underneath so that when you want to tap into more power, you want to create more animated, interactive, engaging content, we give you more bells and whistles to be able to achieve that, but they're not in the way. They're kind of subtle behind the scenes. But then we stop short of going all the way to where you have hundreds of additional like features and so on, which is really meant for 2-3% of the audience. That is not our focus. Right. So that's basically what kind of VisMe falls into as far as what our mission is. And so everything we do is a question of, is it still easy? And is this going above to where it goes a little bit too far to the right side? And when the answer is yes, we stop short of there. That's how we've been able to figure out as far as knowing our limits. We know what our limits are, I guess.
Yeah, I think what is also hidden in this answer is knowing your audience to really, really go deep on Like, what is your ideal buyer profile? And what are the challenges that these people are going through? And understanding that specific thing, and you know exactly where to start and where to stop.
Yeah, that takes time, you know, to figure out and so on. Absolutely. But yes.
Segmentation, critically important. And then position yourself for that. Okay, now you started selling. What has been your, I think you already touched upon a couple of things in the process, but what have you learned from the last 3 years selling this?
Well, learned that companies have different expectations. People have different expectations, but at the end of the day, they still share in our platform and when it comes to their outcome. So for us, the outcome is I want to create something. We have to figure out how is it that you achieve certain common denominator between all of those individuals. And what I've learned is that even though people come from different walks of life, from different industries and so on, if they can have a nicer outcome without more friction, they will absolutely love to have it. So for example, feedback, you know, I didn't realize that I could create a beautiful presentation and your platform helped me to do it. An individual, let's say, is a salesperson. I traditionally was using traditional other tools that have been around for decades and they didn't give me the templates, the assets, and just the ease of being able to do that. And I didn't realize that I could do that. Thank you. You know, that's kind of the feedback. And then we hear it, somebody else who's like, I wanted to create beautiful social graphics and they just were not pretty and now I can do it. I need to create infographics. I'm using your platform to create infographics. And what are infographics? They're just like a very tall document, you know, whether you combine images, graphics, charts, and so on. So you make sense of, you take a lot of information and you just visualize into small stats and figures. All of you have seen it. A lot of people still don't know what they're called, but they're like these tall graphics you see on websites and so on that just like you scroll down your platform with all the templates and so on gives me an easy means to do that. So the thing is that they didn't realize or imagine that they're capable of it. And I think every individual in one capacity or another is actually pretty creative. All humans, I think, have a great creativity to them. They just sometimes need a little bit of a tool or a starting point, a little bit of a guide, you know, to take them through to kind of reach that outcome. And then I think the other part is that people would love to have a little bit of a freedom to do things. So in our platform, you can move things around wherever you want to. So we give you great, beautiful looking templates to get a starting point. But if you decide that you want to go a little bit deeper and customize things, you can. And yet, there are other platforms out there that they really restrict you. They don't let you. I really want to move this up to the left side and it just doesn't let me because they've restricted you to that. So people want to have a sense of freedom too. So that's the other thing that we've learned. Everybody wants to be free and do what they want. But if you just let them loose at the beginning, let them do whatever they want, if they haven't had a great mechanism of how to structure content and so on, their outcome isn't going to be very pretty. So we give them a starting point and we give them the freedom to be able to do that. And that's, I think, what really companies, individuals, and so on really rely on. And I think that's what makes our system a little bit more unique.
Exactly. What I hear at the moment is a couple of things. First of all, it's very important for your type of product to take more of a product-led growth angle so that you can start with one user and then grow from the inside. And the word that you use already is like that you're the guide for them and they become the hero, you know, and that's exactly the reactions that you're getting from users. Does it also mean that a lot of your growth is fueled by word of mouth and by fans and possibly even virality?
It is. I wouldn't still say that we gain most of our users through virality because we drive a lot of traffic through organic means like search engines. You know, we have done a very good job, content marketing and so on. However, with that said, I mean, so that drives millions of users a month itself. But what we have, millions of visitors to our site a month. On the other hand, yes, virality is for our highest conversion rate. And I think it is with any application and so on, is people that refer other people. Someone told me to come. My colleague was using it, told me to come use it. Because, you know, we ask, where did you hear us sometime? So yeah, that certainly has had a very good impact for us, but it is still something that's like expanding. Like my goal is that there's only so much more we can do with search, but there's still a lot more that we can do with that sense of virality and so on. So as the product gets better and gets improved and has more collaborative features, that grows.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, particularly because you create something that looks beautiful. People are impressed by that and say, I want to have that as well. How did you do that? And that's where things get going. Cool. Now, I mean, I wrote my book, The Remarkable Effect, which is about the 10 traits that define software companies that people start talking about and keep talking about. You being an entrepreneur running a company yourself that's all about and helping your customers stand out. Yeah. What are you orchestrating for your company? What are you managing for in order to create something that creates a lasting business, that creates a legacy almost?
What is it that personally, or are you asking?
Yeah. What do you steer for in the company in order to become remarkable at what you do?
Well, part of it is just, you know, improving on the product, continually improving on the product and making it the best in class it can be. Stamping our position, as I mentioned, as, you know, the only platform that truly bridges the gap between the simple and powerful. That is what our sweet spot is. And just honing in on that and continually improving that. Innovation is something, you know, there's a lot of features like on the surface, VizMe looks like any other presentation or design platform. And then yet when you get deeper into it, you realize there's certain things and features that you just cannot find anywhere else. So for example, we have tapped in 2D animated illustrations that are exclusive within VizMe that we created specifically in our platform. We were the first to roll it out. Some others have kind of taken an aim and copied similar styles and so on. But with ours, you have complete control over adjusting all the color schemes and so on that. We have 3D objects that you can use as accent elements and so on within VizMe, and you're able to actually completely change the colors of those objects. No other platform as yet that is similar to ours is doing that. And by the time they start doing that, we're going to have some really cool stuff that is going to really, I believe, next year impact VizMe heavily into another realm to further differentiate it from the competitor. So innovating, we have a lot of great eat and sleep, visualize, you know, what VizMe is and ideas. And for the next year, there's so many ideas and so many things that prioritize in a certain order, right? And that we know that we want to build and improve on VizMe as well to make it. So I think that's one. And improving the product. I mean, look, at the end of it also, we have a lot of great material for education, educating users how to use the platform. And also we have a brand is something that is stamped on quality product and also great education. We have a really cool YouTube channel that basically is all about not using VizMe in essence. It's just learning how to make information beautiful. So we spend a lot of time and effort on creating these videos that basically go over how to create a marketing plan, how to do this. And it's not even related to VizMe. It's just how to do the outcome. So we love educating people. We have a course that thousands of people have taken that is a presentation course, how to create compelling presentations.
Yeah.
And it's a course you can get a certification on. So you get VizMe certified. And that's basically how to become better presenters. That's a course that's provided free. So we provide the material to strengthen our brand and kind of continue being that.
I like that, because what you do at the end, you connect it to something that is a priority for people to do. So you trigger the event and now it's like, okay, now I have to do this big presentation and it needs to look fantastic. That's, of course, where the need comes up. Otherwise, the need wouldn't be there. In the education, it starts like, okay, how can I do this? And then suddenly there's, hey, this isn't only education, it's actually a tool that goes with it. So that's just smart and I like that. But I also read, well, here between the line at the end is, on before as well, really be customer focused and make sure that what customers get is what they are proud of. That's one to fill in as well. Let me see, looking at the time as well, from the tidbits of wisdom that you've gained over time being a CEO, founder of the company, what would be a do and what would be a don't that you would advise to other aspiring CEOs or people that actually want to ramp up?
Sure. Do would be is go with the mindset that creating good things takes time. It's rarely that a product is built and it just blows up in a very short period. It happens. You know, there is a handful. But 9% of the time, building really good products and so on takes time. I mean, look, it took us 3.5-4 years to figure out like how it should function and so on and gain a certain level of traction. And I see people start companies and within 1 or 2 years, it's not working. And then they give up or they're like, there must be some other shinier thing that there's out there and do that. Look, sometimes there's business ideas that, yes, it just are not, probably the market's too little and it's not going to work. But if you have a product, if you have an idea and you believe that it's going to solve a solution for a large number of people, and you truly believe that there's something different about it than other platforms, just work on it. And it's going to take time. It's going to take years to do it. So that's kind of how we did it. And I guess looking back, it could have worked two ways for us. We could have very early on raised some money and had investors and so on. And we could have had the potential to grow very fast, very quickly, and be one of those, you know, 1 out of 1,000 companies that could have been bigger than us. And we're about 100 employees, 18 million users. So, I mean, we've done okay, but it's taken us 10 years to do that. But that could have happened in a shorter period of time. Or there's even a more likely chance is that And I think I wouldn't have executed properly last few years because I was still in a learning process, would have probably failed to do certain things right, and still would have made some of the mistakes would have made, regardless of how much money that was in front of us. And the investors would have closed it down, shut it down within 3 or 4 years. And then guess what? We wouldn't be here. So that's a decision that the individuals would have to make. But if you're getting into something you really believe is a good vision, just focus 100% on it and give it your 100% attention and work on it. And it could take you a year or two, it could take you years. As long as you see little improvements and little positivity and little nuggets that are showing signs of life, then just continue. And at some point, there is going to be a turnaround. For us, it wasn't an immediate turnaround, like all of a sudden we just double, triple X growth. No, it's been consistent linear growth, but numbers add up over time. 25,000 users, 50,000, 100,000, 250, 1 million, 2 million, 5 million, 10 million, so on and so on. It takes time.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, all these crazy stories about companies that got, what is it, unicorn status in 2-3 years time. These are, yeah, of course, it's happening. It's the lottery, but not for the majority. And the question at the end is then, if you could do it again, would you do another bootstrap or would you possibly go for venture capital again?
Probably still, I would start at a bootstrap. I think I would 100% still start a bootstrap because, you know, I believe you should take it as far as you can before you want to raise, unless you truly believe, well, let me put it this way. Starting SaaS companies, essentially, it's so cost efficient these days that you don't have material costs. You just have some infrastructure costs and you have Amazon and Google Cloud and so on. That's that. The rest of it, the cost is essentially programming, building a product. And today, products can be made in much less effort than were in the past. And of course, the marketing and so on, that is something that will be costly over time, but that doesn't matter at early on. So I would still bootstrap it. And at some stage, depending on what that product and market is, what the opportunity is, I would still consider it regularly.
But it's a choice. You know. The reason why I'm asking, I recently wrote a long blog on like how to escape the vicious cycle of desperately chasing funding. And this is exactly why I'm asking this.
We put our focus, and that's the other part, is that sometimes you have to put a lot of focus on raising, and we just put a focus on product. And we're kind of raising all the time. And that's just by growing revenue and then taking that revenue and just investing back in the company. So VisMe has raised millions and millions of dollars over the years.
Yeah.
It's just that it's been through the product and and the revenue is generated and put back into itself.
Great answer. I like that, that last one. Go. So Mel, thank you for sharing all of this, sharing the journey, the vision and the mission behind the product, the persistence to kind of get where you are right now, impressive number of users. So I'll keep following you. And where can people go to find out more about VisMe and to say hi to you?
Sure. Just go to visme.com, V-I-S-M-E.com or .co, either will do. Just type in VisMe, V-I-S-M-E in Google. You'll find us on the top of the Google. And if you need to connect with me on LinkedIn, my first name and last name, Payman Tai, there's nobody else with that name. So you'll find me easily. Connect with me there.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Payman.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
It was a pleasure. And this ends my conversation with Payman. And I hope you enjoyed it. If so, please leave a review on iTunes. And if it inspired you, please share it with other tech entrepreneurs on a mission that you have in your network. Other than that, thank you for tuning into this podcast. I had the honor to speak to Payman Tai, CEO of VisMe. As said, the goal that I have in this podcast is twofold. Firstly, to inspire new forms of value creation by sharing compelling ideas and stories about the potential we can unlock when technology and people blend in the right way. And secondly, share experiences from tech entrepreneurs like you about what is required to create a remarkable software business and how to overcome the roadblocks to do so. Before I close, I have two more comments to make. If you know other tech entrepreneurs on a mission that have a story worth sharing, please send me an email at ton.dobby@valueinspiration.com. Building the momentum all starts with revealing the ideas. And that starts with you. And if you want to know more about my book, or you're interested in joining the Remarkable Effect tribe, please visit my website at www.valueinspiration.com. Thanks for tuning in. And you could do me a big favor by rating the podcast on iTunes or provide me with your feedback directly. I'll see you shortly on a new episode.